today as we come to the table.
Leave it on the field for the Lord. Again, I talked to somebody after the service, and they're talking about different body parts breaking and all that. I'll never forget that whole statement that another pastor said one time. He said, I always knew I'd go to heaven, but I always thought it'd be at one time. I didn't think it'd be at a piece at a time, you know. And sometimes as believers, I think that's what it feels like. We're getting killed in different areas, and the enemy's just wiping us out. But you know what, guys? We have the victory. We have the victory, and we will end up receiving all that God has for us if we'll be faithful until the end and just continue the fight.
Sometimes it feels like we're getting taken apart by the enemy, like the attack is too fierce, and we're losing parts of ourselves in the battle. But Pastor Mark reminds us today that we have the victory. In the end, we're on the winning side. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. So our job is to stay in the fight, continue the fight, and make it to the end where God will win the victory. And when the death and darkness are too much, remember that God has a crown of life coming for those who overcome. God has given many promises to those who overcome. Don't miss out on heavenly glory in order to be comfortable here on earth. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 13 as he continues his message, Interfering with the Gospel.
Whenever there's going to be great impact for the gospel, there's going to be great opposition because Satan wants to kill you. And he wants to kill your family. And he wants to kill your friends. Aren't you glad God is our protector? God is the one that protects us. And so when you step out in the name of the Lord, I want you to be ready. There's going to be great opposition, especially depending on how great the work is. But God has promised the victory. It doesn't mean there aren't going to be casualties. It doesn't mean there's not going to be battle. It doesn't mean we're not going to be limping some, maybe limping a lot. But we've got to grab onto God with all we have and say, Lord, I'm doing this for you. I mean, what else? You know, we have two options really as believers. We can kind of just live through life, be quiet and mind our own business and kind of do okay, which I have to admit seems very appealing. Or we can say, all right, put on the armor. We're going to battle. But there's real bullets out there. Yeah, there are real bullets out there, real spiritual bullets, real spiritual bombs. Even as you have earthly warfare, you have spiritual warfare. And I'm telling you guys, it's not fun. And you, any of you that have walked with the Lord any length of time, you know it's not fun. But I would rather have one arm, one leg, and one eye left over fighting for the Lord than just lay down and give up. Because we've got one shot at this thing, one shot. And then it's forever in the kingdom. And then we can get in the kingdom and talk about our owies then, you know, all of our wounds, probably won't even care. Notice this bar Jesus. First of all, notice what he says about him. He's a sorcerer. It literally means one who practices magical arts. We would compare this today to New Age Spiritism, to this Long Island medium lady or whatever, which is on some program. I've seen it advertised. And they show this smiley lady that's all friendly doing all these things or whatever. Listen, guys, the Bible says it's demonic. It's not of the Lord. You almost want to say, oh, you of all wickedness, daughter of the devil, how long will you quit perverting the ways of what true spiritualness is in God? And so the same thing is happening here. It's that same kind of, it looks like it's something that's attractive. As a matter of fact, no doubt, Sergius Paulus had this guy there with him, this Elymas, the sorcerer, had him there with him because he wanted some spiritual counsel. You know, what do I do? There's big decisions to be made. Give me your spiritual insight, you know. And so this guy would, you know, do whatever, wave something, do his magical arts or whatever. And this is the guy that he's got next to him. Now, Paul's got to come in and share the gospel in front of this guy. Secondly, notice it says he was a false prophet. That is, he prophesied, but it was by false deception. And guys, know this. Even as God can speak to us, the enemy can speak to us as well. We've got to discern the difference in God's voice and the enemy's voice. And a lot of people that are deceived by the enemy, they're hearing true voice. You know, I just this past week talking to somebody about people that have these mental issues and saying, you know, they hear voices. I know there are true mental issues and people that have hallucinations and all that. And I'm not saying that it's always demonic, but I will tell you this. Sometimes it is. The voices are real because the demonic realm is there. And if we're in tune with the demonic realm, if we've opened up a door to the demonic realm, we're going to hear those voices. We're going to hear them speaking to us. And people like this Bar Jesus, they're ones that bring this stuff in. They're connected to the wrong realm. And so they do speak oftentimes of things that are truly spiritual, but it's not God's spirit. It's a demonic spirit. We have to be able to discern that and stick with the word of God. And this is the one that gets me again. Thirdly, notice he was Jewish. He was a Jew. Again, how sad it is to me. The Jews above all people should be the ones standing for the Bible and the word of God. And lastly, notice his name, Bar Jesus. It gives an indication here of a child of Jesus, might be a translation of that. A son of Jesus, a male of Jesus, if you will. How ironic when he had a name that means a son of the Savior, so to speak, and that whole picture of what that meaning is. Yet in reality, it's a son of the devil. And we've got people like that today, don't we? They call themselves believers, truly believe in the Lord, and yet they live for the enemy. Guys, this is something to be careful of because I'm telling you, the Bible says in the last days there's going to be a great falling away. And as a pastor, I notice all these different articles and churches around the nation that call themselves churches and they're standing for evil. They're standing for unrighteousness. They're inviting it in their doors and they're lifting it up like it's a good thing. I read some article this week, major evangelical comes out and says homosexuality is good and should be welcomed and all this stuff. Guys, I'm not trying to pick on any particular sin. But if the church doesn't speak what's true, we're done. We've got to make a stand. It is not. God says it is not acceptable. God says sin is not acceptable, and those who are living in sin will not be accepted in the kingdom. We've got to face these Bar Jesuses head on and say, you're a false prophet. You're leading God's children astray. Better for you a millstone hung around your neck than you preach this falseness and lead God's people astray. Be bold. Be courageous. Speak the truth. Lay it all, you know, leave it on the field for the Lord. Leave it on the field. That's what they say in sports, right? Leaving it on the court, you know? Leave it on the field for the Lord. Again, I talked to somebody after the service, and they're talking about different body parts breaking and all that. I'll never forget that whole statement that another pastor said one time. He said, I always knew I'd go to heaven, but I always thought it'd be at one time. I didn't think it'd be at a piece at a time, you know? And sometimes as believers, I think that's what it feels like. We're getting killed in different areas, and the enemy's just wiping us out. But you know what, guys? We have the victory. We have the victory, and we will end up receiving all that God has for us if we'll be faithful until the end and just continue the fight. So how do we know the difference in the real and the fake? Well, again, Paul, the same way Paul did, being led by the Holy Spirit and the fruit in their life. You know, anybody can say they're a Christian or they're doing the gospel work or whatever, but if they're fighting against the Lord and they're fighting against His word, they're not a Christian and they're not working for the gospel. They're fighting against it, and we can tell by the fruit. And so this is exactly what Paul is doing here. This very spiritual man was a sorcerer and a false prophet, but Paul recognizes it. And notice it says, but Elymas the sorcerer, now Paul's sharing all this, called in there to the proconsul, but Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Notice that was his goal. I want to turn you away from believing in Jesus Christ. How scary that is. Again, I go back to the millstone statement of the Lord. So he calls for them. He's desiring to hear. This guy's saying, I want to turn him away. And guys, that's exactly what many people are doing today. Listen, the whole push to get the word of God and prayer out of schools and to get the word of God and prayer out of government and out of, you know, anytime this recent thing, don't pray at the football games or whatever. It may seem like a small thing, but this whole push is the enemy trying to squelch the gospel, trying to squelch the word of God. And what I love about the gospel is you can't chain it up. You can chain up God's people. Paul spent a big part of his life in prison. But did the gospel get chained up? No, it goes right through those bars, doesn't it? There are no bars that can hold the gospel back, not a Bar Jesus nor prison bars. Because the Lord's word will go out with power and authority, and God will do what he said he's going to do. Now, it's interesting here to see that Paul faced this kind of opposition with these guys, you know, this Bar Jesus standing against him and fighting against him. And it's actually encouraging in a strange way because it shows us that although we're dealing with this, Paul dealt with the same thing. We're not the only ones having to deal with this kind of opposition. And so you're saying, yes, but we need boldness. And now, you know, it gets scary to stand up for the truth. You know, as everybody begins to stand against the things of God, we need to be the ones that are bold, because if we're not bold, nobody's going to be bold. But again, Satan uses the same tactics over and over in trying to squelch the gospel at government levels and everywhere else. And that's what this is, a squelching of the gospel at the government level with this proconsul, this Roman proconsul, Sergius Paulus. And Paul says, you know what? I'm not going to have anything to do with it. You know, wouldn't you love to have Paul around just for like 1 week up in Washington? Paul, welcome back. Let me catch you up real quick. Could you go in and speak to these guys for a second? I mean, everybody in Congress would be stumbling out blind and lame. I mean, it would be like crawling over chairs, you know, like, I can't see. Who was that guy, you know? Stop perverting the straight ways of the Lord. Stand for what's right. Be bold. Notice he says, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, oh, full of all deceit and fraud. Now, again, before I even read this, remember that Paul, that short guy, that just kind of, you know, crook nose and that high voice and getting all upset and mad because here's a fellow Jew standing in the way of Jesus Christ, the one that came to save not only the Jews, but to save the Gentiles. And he sees one of his own, a man who should know better above all people, standing against it. Paul, now being filled with the Holy Spirit, notice, looks intently at him. And he said, oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? I love it. Again, I'd love to have seen this, you know. But notice his confidence and his boldness to do this. Where did it come from? Because it says here that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And guys, if we're going to be confident and bold for the Lord, we're going to have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the first time we see Saul called Paul in the scripture. And I believe there's a change happening here. There's a visual and spiritual change happening right here where Paul changes his name. God changes his name in the scripture from Saul over to Paul for a couple of reasons. He's going to not only give him brand new authority, because he's now going to be the leader, if you will, of the church, but he's also going to give him a new name, which means small. Paul means small. It's time for him to be humble. I'm going to use you in greater ways, Paul, but I have to humble you in order to use you in greater ways. And so we see him moving into this whole new realm here, I believe very symbolic of his new position and authority and the fact that he now is going to be small in his own eyes, but large in the eyes of the Lord and used in great ways. And so God, again, using him here. And again, notice that just laying it out there. He doesn't hold anything back. He says, notice, he's not just partially, but he says, you are full of all deceit and fraud. You son of the devil. You enemy of righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? Don't you wish you could just say that to some people right now? There's some people I'd love to say that to. You full of all deceit and fraud. Stop perverting the ways of the Lord. Repent and speak the truth. And Paul gets to say it. Now, again, you better be called if you're going to say that. And you better be led by the Holy Spirit, especially if you're speaking to some government official or anyone else, because you could get into big trouble. But again, this was God leading Paul. Notice what he says about him. He doesn't just have a little bit of these things. He's full of these things. You are full of deceit. You are full of lies. You are full of fraud. Although you have this spiritual persona, it's all fake. And next, notice what he says. He says, you are a son of the devil and an enemy of righteousness. What a description. Now again, Paul's not name calling. He's not just getting all fired up in the flesh and, you know, you and I'll tell you this. No, he's not doing that. He's fiery by the Spirit, but he's being led by the Spirit to speak the truth. He's exposing who this guy is in front of Sergius Paulus. He's confronting this guy about who he is so that he might even be able to repent. And he basically says, you're perverting the straight ways of the Lord. He rebukes him in a strong way there. And again, that's exactly what many do today. They pervert the straight ways of the Lord. It's amazing to me how complicated some people can make the scripture. John 14:6. No one goes to the Father except by me. Signed, Jesus Christ, right? Just read that to some people, and you know what they'll say? That's your interpretation. I didn't even interpret it yet. I just read it. What is it that you're thinking it means?
Well, it could mean a lot of things.
Or it could mean what it says, too. They pervert the straight and simple word of the Lord for their own purposes, because they want to deny themselves and they want to deny anyone else they can from being a part of it as well. The cults are masters at this. They take the word of God and twist it. They quote it for their own purposes. Hence, they're led astray and they lead others astray as well. Paul doesn't have anything to do with it. I love it. And that's what Paul says. And now, indeed, verse 11, the hand of the Lord is upon you. And this was not for a blessing. You know, God's hand can be upon us for blessing. God's hand can be upon us for cursing, can't it? Depends on how we're living. This is now God's hand upon him for cursing. He says, God's hand, again, he knew the Lord had told him this. He wouldn't just say this. He knew the Lord had told him, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Now, again, as I said, I wish I could do that, you know. You're going to be blind for a while. See, and I told you, you know. And for some people that oppose the gospel, because you get so upset with it, especially when it comes to stumbling children, you know, and not letting children hear the word of God. There's nothing that makes me more angry than that. And so Paul says, the hand of the Lord will be upon you. I think there's a very interesting symbolic thing here as well. It's interesting to me to see Paul now starting in his new ministry as Paul, and he runs across this Jewish person who's opposing the gospel of Jesus Christ there in that region. And Paul says, you know what? Because you have rejected, you're going to be blind for a season and not be able to see the truth. And that's exactly what the Bible says has happened to the nation of Israel as a whole. Now, there are saved Jews. Absolutely. There's a remnant. Praise God for that. But as a whole, the Jewish people do not believe in Jesus Christ. And even as this Jewish person here opposing the gospel had his eyes blinded where he couldn't see the sun for a while, God has also blinded the eyes of the Jewish nation where they can't see the sun, S-O-N, for a while. And the Bible says in the last days after the rapture, God's going to pour his spirit out on the nation of Israel, and they're going to be our brothers and sisters. Is that going to be awesome or what? Now, the bummer is they're going to come to the Lord after we're already in heaven. That's a bummer to me because I love them now, and I've got good friends over there now. But they're going to be our brothers and sisters forever in the kingdom. Again, I think there's a picture here the Lord is giving us of this rejection by this Jewish person in authority, with someone who's in authority. And now we see Romans says the same thing is going to happen to the nation and has. And notice it says this, at that time, immediately a dark mist fell on him and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. What he must have been thinking, who knows? I wonder if he ever came to the Lord. It'd be kind of neat to get to heaven and see him up there, wouldn't it? You know? Man, I'll tell you, I didn't believe until this Paul guy showed up, you know, and he did that thing, but I'm a believer now, you know? Awesome. Gotta love it. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, but notice the explanation. Notice the further explanation it gives as to why he believed. Being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. It doesn't say he believed because he was astonished at the miracle that Paul had done. No doubt that did wow him. But he was astonished at what? The teaching of the Lord. Guys, here's the answer. Here's the answer. We're going to be running into more and more Bar Jesuses as we head toward the last days. There are going to be people who openly oppose us preaching the gospel, even from the churches. Even from the churches, we're going to be attacked. It used to be that if we stayed within the church, you know, good little boys and girls, then they wouldn't bother us, right? They only got mad when we went out into the streets like we were supposed to, into all the world preaching the gospel and the good news. But now the pressure is going to begin, I believe, on the church, even within the doors. And I think I've already seen it beginning and is already beginning. And the power to defeat that is going to be the Word of God. The churches that are teaching the Word of God and the churches and Christians who know the Word of God will stand. The churches who aren't teaching the Word of God and the believers who don't know the Word of God, they're going to fall. And that's going to be the difference. It depends on what we build our house on, sand or solid rock. I believe we're going to need to be built on solid rock more than ever. The Word of God. He was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. We need to teach the Word of God because that's where the power is. Jeremiah said this. He said, you know, anybody can have a dream or a vision. And that's good and all. If it's God, that's a good thing. If it's the Lord. He said this. But Jeremiah said this. He said, but the Word of God is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Is that an awesome picture or what? We can have all the dreams and visions we want about breaking strongholds down, but it's going to be the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God and the straightforward power and non-perversion of the Word of God and the boldness to say it like it is when other people are going to say, you better be quiet, you're going to get in trouble. That's where the power is. That's the hammer that will break the rock. And that's what's going to lead people into the kingdom of God and set people free in these days in which we live. astonished at his teaching. Again, not the miracles. In verse 13, now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So John Mark, who had gone with them on this mission journey, now goes back to Jerusalem. It doesn't tell us the reason, whether he was afraid, whether he was just homesick, whether he was too immature to make it to the end. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But the bottom line is the Bible does tell us later on it made Paul really upset. Paul said, John Mark, you were supposed to be with us, helping us. You bolted on us and you left, and now we're here. Well, this is Barnabas' nephew. And later on, they're going to go out on a second missionary journey. And Paul's going to say, I don't trust John Mark. He bolted on me last time. I'm not going to take him with me this time. He can't go. And so he and Barnabas get in this heated discussion. The Bible says it became so heated, they divided and couldn't even do ministry together anymore. And guys, there are times when things can become so contentious that even godly people can't do ministry together anymore. I've seen that throughout the ministry. But the cool thing is that if we'll humble ourselves and keep our hearts soft, God can still restore even that. It may take some time down the road, but God can restore it because, again, we see later on in 2 Timothy 4, verses 9 through 11, Paul speaking about John Mark. You know, there's this great contention and great separation, but he says later on, he says to Timothy, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. And notice what he says, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Isn't that great? It's like Mark's matured. He's grown now. He's ready. Bring Mark. I can use him for the ministry. I'm sure that Mark was like, you better believe I'll go. I'd love to serve alongside Paul. He probably was regretting greatly for many years that he ran off and left Paul. Can you imagine being in heaven saying, who's your, you ever do missions? Yeah, I did some missions once. You know, I mean, I did quite a few missions throughout my life. Really? What was your first mission trip? Well, my first mission trip didn't go so well. Well, what happened? Who'd you go with? Paul. Paul is in Paul the Apostle? Yes. What happened? Well, I went home. I didn't think it was going good. I'm not picking on John Mark, but I'd hate to have that, you know, forever in heaven. And like I said, I at least made it, you know. And guys, where does this leave us? Look, here's what I want to end us with today. Yes, I'm a little bit passionate this morning because I read some of these articles and I see what some of our officials are doing. And I see people that not only don't want the word of God for themselves, they fight against it for you guys. They fight against it for our children receiving it. And that is very upsetting. It upsets the Lord. And it's the Spirit of the Lord that would get us upset because he's upset. So what do? Well, we don't go around calling down curses and asking everybody to be blind. That was a rare moment and something God moved in Paul's spirit by the Spirit. Guys, most of our confrontation is going to be what I'll call gently firm. We come in gentleness, but we're firm. Here's what the Word of God says. The Bible says this, and we use the Word of God. We use the rock that breaks the hammer, or rather the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And we preach the gospel boldly. There's going to be a lot more bar Jesuses. Again, people that are going to be openly opposing the gospel. And again, not just for themselves. They don't want you to read it. They don't want you to hear it. They don't want our kids. They don't want the next generation to hear it. And I'm not talking about being rebelliously defiant. I'm talking about making a righteous stand. Going into all the world preaching the gospel. Not being afraid of the bar Jesuses. Even if they're the buddy of Sergius Paulus. Saying, you know what? Do you want to hear the gospel? Yes. Then here's what the Bible says. We don't force it down anyone's throat, but we need to pray that God will leave the door open to preach the gospel. And I believe as we get more and more into the last days, guys, we're going to have to get less and less of the word of God because the Antichrist and the world we're going to be living in is not going to tolerate it.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the book of Acts. From the inspiring faith of Stephen, to walking through Paul's conversion, to observing how the early church grew and thrived, there's much more to gain from this eventful book. Jesus had promised to send a helper, and he certainly delivered in sending his Spirit to overflowing in these new Christians. It must have been an exciting and also very challenging period of time that these men and women were getting to be a part of. If there was something in this message that you need to hear again, you can go to thewaymedia.net and navigate to Come to the Table to listen to, or download this or other messages. You can also download the Way Media app so you know when new broadcasts are happening. If you're a prayer warrior, we very much value your consistent prayers during this study through Acts. God can do mighty things through the faithful prayers of those who seek after Him. We're earnestly expecting Him to do big things in and through this radio ministry. We're thankful for your prayers, and we're trusting God to use this platform to get the word out and for it to spread like wildfire. Pastor Mark has more to share through the book of Acts, so we hope you'll be able to join us next time. We look forward to what will be shared about these people of faith and the trials and triumphs they faced as they walk out their lives in a way that sought to honor God. May these accounts inspire you to do the same and to come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.